Again, praise the Lord for that special this evening, and what a blessing, the words of that song and the sacrifice that our Savior made for us, and I trust that was a blessing and a help to all of us this evening. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles in chapter 16, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and trust that your week has gone well so far, and you've made it to the midweek point, and it feels like winter has come all of a sudden. I think it was 60 degrees on Monday. And then who knows what kind of degrees it is out there tonight, but it's cold out there. And I know they're calling for snow later on in the week, and that makes some excited. It makes other people upset. And so we just have to get through it this time of year. But praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house this evening. And I encourage you to plug in tonight. I know we can get weary through the week when you get home and it's already dark and then you leave to come out to church. It just doesn't seem right, but that's the time of year that we're in right now. And so I encourage you this evening just to get plugged into the Word of God this evening and get exactly what God has for you. If you're in your place there in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, I invite you to stand this evening if you're able to. And for the reading of God's Word tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 down through verse 7 this evening, and we're dealing with King Asa here. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There's a league between me and thee as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba in Mizpah. The Bible says in verse 7, "And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand." And I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "The High Cost of Asa's Lack of Faith." The High Cost of Asa's Lack of Faith. Let's pray, and then when we're finished praying, you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you tonight, and we are thankful once again to be able to come before you and become before your throne. And Lord, bow before you and ask you to speak to us this evening. And yet, Lord, that's what we're here to do. We're praying that you'll take this message and speak to all of our hearts, Lord, that we can learn something from this passage tonight, that you'll use me tonight to speak and apply it to all of our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. Here in our passage, we are obviously dealing with the divided kingdom of the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah. And this would have somewhat been a great trial or a great difficulty for King Asa in the land of Judah. And what you have here, as we look, many historians or many commentators believe this would have been an act of war that Baasha, the king of Israel, would have done. That city of Ramah would have been the border city between the southern tribes of Judah and the northern tribes of Israel. And so that was the bordering city. And so what the Bible says is that Baasha, king of Israel, he built up a wall in Ramah. The intent of building that wall is that none would go out of Israel into Judah and that none would come out of Judah into Israel. And so what he would have halted any type of trade that they would have had between those two places. Any type of travel between those two places, if the Judah needed to go to a place north of them, they would not have been able to travel through there as Baasha fortified that city. And so it would have definitely been a time of difficulty and a hardship for King Asa in the land of Judah. And here's what I want you to see in this passage. Asa would have to make a decision. He would either have to look to God in faith to handle this difficulty, or he looked to himself in the decision that he thought was best to make in that time of difficulty. And as we look at Asa, you go back and you study the history, you'll find that Asa was a godly king. He did things right in the sight of God for 35 years of his reign leading up to this point. And I love studying the history of Asa. I mean, you go through and you see all the things that he did and the mighty works that God did through him. And you, honestly, you get fired up when you see how God used him until he comes to this point. And a difficulty or a hardship comes in his life. And he has to respond in one of two ways. Either he's going to trust God in faith in this difficulty and in this trial, or he's going to look to himself to try to fix it on his own. I want you to see three quick things from this passage tonight as we go through here, and hopefully we'll be able to make application tonight, and it'll be a help to us. First of all, I want you to see an opportunity to exercise faith in God. An opportunity to exercise faith in God. I want to make a statement tonight. I want you to take a hold of this, if you would, and understand the truth of the statement. Understand this: every difficulty or every trial that we go through is a chance for increased faith in God. Every time we go through a hardship in our lives, God gives us that hardship to be able to grow our faith, or he allows that hardship in our life to be able to grow our faith in him and a chance for increased faith in God. Here's what you have in this passage. You have a difficult time for Asa. You have a difficult time for the land of Judah. And yet as you read through this passage, you understand this: Asa had everything he needed to succeed. God had given him every tool that he needed to succeed, even in the midst of his time of difficulty. I want you to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and I want to study just for a few minutes some of the things that God had given to Asa that would help him succeed when he came to this hard time. Understand this: Asa was armed with a knowledge of God's power. He was armed with a knowledge of God's power. Look, if you would, in chapter 14 and verse 9. This was one of the early recordings of Asa's kingdom there, or of his reign. And the Bible says in verse 9, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephthah at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God." And I love this. "And Asa said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let none, not man, prevail against thee." I love the thought that Asa had there as this Ethiopian army came upon him, and they came with all their chariots and all their men, and they made a war with Asa in the land of Judah. And Asa doesn't go and find his army. No, the first thing he does is he goes to God. And he says, "God, you have the power that we need. Lord, it doesn't matter if we have great strength or if we have little strength, Lord. It doesn't matter, because you have all power. And if you want to get victory in our lives, you can do that." That was Asa's attitude as a young man, as he faced this battle with these Ethiopians. What a great blessing to understand that Asa had knowledge of the power of God. I love the Bible goes on to say there in verse 12, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem." Here's what God did. God took something that should have been a hardship for them. God took something that should have been a difficulty for them. But when they looked to God and they looked to God's power and recognized God's power, God took a difficult situation and turned it into an incredible situation for them. Not only did they defeat the army there, not only did they see God do a great victory, listen, they walked back with all kinds of spoils of war. God used that to strengthen them and to build the land of Judah up. And they were armed with a knowledge of God's power. You see, later on in his life, Asa should have been able to look back in that situation and say, "I remember when God was with us, when the Ethiopians came upon us. In that time of difficulty, and in that hardship, how God was with us." Not only was he armed with a knowledge of God's power, Asa was armed with a knowledge of God's word. You see, God sent a messenger to him in chapter 15. The Bible says in chapter 15 and verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. The Bible goes on to say there in verse 8, And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. You see, Asa knew the words of God. He knew what it was to do right. He knew what it was when God came to him and spoke to him and said, Listen, if you'll follow after me, if you'll follow my commandments, I'll be a blessing to you and I'll fight for you. And so Asa was armed with everything that he would need to succeed. You see, Asa as an old man should have looked back to his life as a young man. And he would have seen God's power in his life. He would have seen God's words in his life and he could have fallen back on those things. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. We as well in the midst of difficulty, listen, as God's children have everything we need to succeed. Listen, as we go through the trials of life, and they come upon us all the time, don't they? The difficulties, the trials of life, we have everything we need to be able to succeed as a child of God. God has given us everything. Understand this, we know of God's power. The Bible says in 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's an incredible promise tonight that you can take with you. Listen, as we get out of bed tomorrow and as we face some of the things that may come upon us during the day tomorrow or on us the rest of the week, listen, we can understand we have a God who has all power. And that's a blessing to us as we understand our God has walked on water. Our God has raised people from the dead. And what a blessing to understand the power that we have of God. We also know God's words. We know the words of God where he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know the words of God that the trying of our faith worketh patience. We know these things in our lives and we have everything we need to succeed. I want you to understand tonight, every difficulty is a powerful opportunity for God to get another victory. Every trial that you face is a powerful opportunity for you to look to God in faith and allow God to get a victory in your life. But it takes us looking to him. Asa, in the midst of his difficulty here, in the midst of this war between him and his land and Israel's, he should have looked to God. Should have called on that faith that he had in God. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 tonight. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul here speaking to the Romans, the Christians living in Rome, he says in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1, I love this verse, he says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Listen, we have a commandment tonight as Christians that we are to live in faith. Listen, as Christians, as we go through this life, to be able to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish, to be able to deal with all the hardships and the struggles of this life, we must live in a faith in God. He says, this is the righteousness of God. It's revealed from faith to faith. You say, what does that mean when he says from faith to faith? Well, I think we all understand that when we get saved by faith. We exercise faith in Jesus Christ. We call upon him in the finished work of the cross, and we accept him as our Savior. It takes faith to do that. But I want to remind you tonight, our faith does not stop on the day of salvation. Our faith is to live throughout the Christian life, to get up every morning and exercise faith in God. That's how we do right in the midst of difficulty, is by exercising faith in God. And so that's how we live from faith to faith. We get saved through faith, and then we live the Christian life in faith until one of these days, praise the Lord, God comes back for us and takes us to heaven. And then our faith becomes sight. And so tonight, as Christians, listen, we understand that we have to live the Christian life in faith. As Christians, we must live in faith. And listen, God gives us multiple opportunities on a daily basis to live in faith. Many times they're disguised as trials or difficulties or hardships. Just opportunities that God gives to us to be able to live and exercise and grow in our faith in him. I believe that as we study there in Asa's life, there in the beginning of his life, Those should have been some defining moments for Asa. Should have been able to look back at those times and see how God had him during those times and how God brought him through those difficulties. And if God did it before, God can do it again. I believe that, listen, God gives each and every one of us defining moments in our Christian lives. I believe there's times in which God gives us specific moments that when we look back on those times, we see, I remember God, what he did there. Listen, as Christians, I'd say this, we would be wise to remember those times and reflect back on them often. I was thinking as I was studying this passage, I remember one of the defining moments in early in Sheree and I's marriage. We were there living in Cleveland, and I got to be honest with you, as I was growing up, I grew up in church and was in church from the time I was an infant, always knew being in church. And to be real honest with you, I never, growing up, really had a lot of times in which I had to stand on my own faith. I always had my parents there for me. Even in Bible college, I was there, and it seemed like the Lord just blessed, and there was not a lot of opportunity where I had to stand on my own two feet. And I remember very early when we got married, just a few months into our marriage, Sheree got very sick, and she was unable to eat any food, keep any food down, and there for several days began to get dehydrated and got very weak, and eventually we had to take her to the Cleveland Clinic, and they admitted her there for several days. And I remember at that time just kind of wondering what was going on there. And I remember the doctors would come in, and at the Cleveland Clinic, that's a medical teaching facility as well. And I remember sometimes sitting by her bedside, and five or six doctors would come in, and they'd have clipboards, and they're all asking her questions. And I remember asking one of them, I said, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "We're trying to figure out what's wrong." And I said, "What do you think?" And they said, "We've ruled out this, we've ruled out that." And I remember just both of us somewhat getting discouraged in those times. I mean, here we are, we've just been out of Bible college, we've given our lives to serve the Lord, and it really, more probably my thinking than her, this just isn't fair. You know, God, why are you allowing us to go through something like this? And I remember a Saturday evening, she was in the hospital over the weekend and for several days, and on that Saturday evening after I left the hospital, I was kind of just having a pity party for myself. And I remember, I'll call my dad, he'll give me some sympathy. And I remember getting on the phone with my dad, and I'm thinking, hey, and I started griping and complaining about the situation. And finally, my dad stopped me, and he didn't give me any sympathy whatsoever. He said, "You need to get over it and trust God." And I remember hanging up the phone that evening, and I'm thinking, that's not what I wanted to hear. He did not get the point of that call, you know. He kind of forgot all about what was going on here. But I remember thinking, as I allowed that to sink in more, he's making a great point. And I remember that next day, Sunday, I went to church, and God did some specific things in our lives that day. God gave us some specific answers to prayer, some specific blessings that day. And just a few days later, as Sheree ended up getting better, really it was no treatment that they gave her. It's just something that she had to go through. And I remember her going home, and I remember for the first time, really as a couple, us standing on our own two feet and learning how to trust God in the midst of a difficult circumstance. And I'm telling you this, listen, I look back on that time often. Through some of the trials that we've gone through over the last several years, oftentimes I'll look back to those defining moments that God gave us where we learned to trust Him. Understand this tonight. Listen, every difficulty is a powerful opportunity for God to get a victory. Asa should have taken the opportunity here to trust God, to allow him to stew another victory. I see there an opportunity for faith in God. But secondly, I want you to see a decision that Asa had to make. A decision that Asa had to make. Can I say this? In every difficulty, we must decide to either have faith in God or trust in ourselves. When we go through those hard times, we're either going to draw upon our faith in God or we're going to look to ourselves and try to answer it on our own. That's the decision that we have to make. We either trust in that which isn't seen. The Bible says is that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Listen, it's not like God is standing right in front of you in the midst of those times where you can see him and have an actual conversation with him. And so sometimes in the midst of our trials, listen, sometimes because of our mindset, God even seems farther away. And so sometimes we reach for that which is tangible, that which we have right in front of us. Listen, can I say the natural decision is to tend towards that that I can see? The decision that might be the tangible decision, something that I can reach out and touch. Listen, it doesn't take faith. But can I say this? Faith is always the right way to live. Trusting God and looking to Him. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Listen, I love that thought, lean not to thine own understanding. Because you understand the difference between our wisdom and God's wisdom. Listen, our wisdom is but a drop in a vast ocean in comparison to God's wisdom. And God says, draw upon that which I've given to you. Trust in me. Have faith in me. We see Asa's decision was a decision to trust himself. In verse 2, Asa took of the precious metals that were in the temple, the gold and silver, those things that had been reserved for the work of God. And Asa took those metals, those golds and silver, and he sent those things to Syria. He began to build a league with Syria. He empowered the enemy. The Bible says Syria then was strengthened. No doubt they were able to get greater weaponry. They were able to bolster their ranks with this added gold and silver. And they came in, listen, and they didn't break their league with Israel. They came in and began to destroy the cities of Israel. Listen, so much so that eventually Baasha looks around and he says, listen, I've got to leave off what I'm doing here in Ramah. I've got to leave off in this war that I'm having with Judah so that I can go tend to these things with Syria. And when he did that, the Bible says that Asa went into Ramah with his people. And they went in, they began to tear down the walls. They began to tear down those stones and the timber, and they took them back to Judah, and they began to fortify their cities. And can I say this? From strictly a worldly standpoint, from a worldly philosophy, everything that Asa did, it looks like it's a smart decision now. Things are starting to work out. Listen, he's taken this money, and he's been able to distract Baasha so that he can go in and fortify and strengthen his own city. And yet I'd say this, his plan may have seemed to work for a time, but here's what we have. Asa went against God. Asa went against what he knew that he should do. Asa empowered the enemy, the real enemy. Asa took silver and gold that belonged to the Lord and sent it to Syria. This would have strengthened a true enemy of Israel in Syria. It would have strengthened them and taken away from Israel and Judah. Can I say this tonight? Israel and Baasha were not the real enemy. Listen, what he had going on in the midst of that trial with Israel and Baasha, that wasn't the true enemy. The true enemy would have been Syria. Listen, do you understand that Syria wouldn't have been satisfied just to defeat Israel? I mean, Asa has now just empowered a true enemy of Israel. They can start and come in and they can conquer Israel. And listen, they're not going to stop with Israel. Eventually, they'll come to Judah and defeat them and take everything they had. Listen, Israel and Baasha, God would have taken care of them. They were still His people. They may have been away from God, but God was still in control. Listen, if Asa would have just turned things over to God, God could have taken care of things there. But He strengthened the enemy. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. Many times in the midst of our difficulty or our trials, we mistake who the true enemy is. And then we go against God's revealed will and empower the real enemy. Listen, I don't know what trial you're facing tonight. I don't know what difficulty you're facing tonight. But understand, the enemy is not that trial. The enemy is not that difficult situation. Listen, the enemy has never changed for the Christian. The enemy will always be the devil. But here's what happens. In the midst of our trials, in the midst of our difficulties, if we mistake the enemy, sometimes we begin to act out in the flesh. Listen, when we act out in the flesh, we're sinning and we're empowering the real enemy. We give the real enemy, the devil, a stronghold in our lives. Every decision to sin gives the devil more ammunition in our lives. Listen, the enemy isn't the trial. Maybe it's a financial trial that you fall upon. Maybe it's a bill that you weren't expecting to come in. Listen, can I say this? The natural reaction of the world would be to stop tithing. Stop tithing. You can hold that money back for yourself and you can begin to pay these bills and slowly over time you can take care of those bills. Listen, here's what you do though. You get used to having that money in your pocket. That money that was never yours in the first place. Listen, what happens is then we allow the devil to have a stronghold in our lives when we empower him when we act in the flesh. Maybe it's another brother and sister in Christ. They're the source of the trial that you're facing. Listen, what do we do in that time? Listen, if we're acting in the flesh, we might withdraw from church. We might say, well, you know, I'm not going back to that place. I'll find another place to go. Listen, here's what we're doing. We're empowering the enemy. We've given him another stronghold in our life. You can go on and on with these thoughts. Listen, maybe it's the trial is consuming every ounce of your time. Every fiber of your being is wrapped up in this trial. Listen, sometimes we say, I can't even open God's word to read it because I'm so consumed with this trial. And so we shut God's word and we push it away. And here's what we're doing each and every time. We're giving added ammunition to the devil. We're allowing him to have a stronghold in our lives. Listen, Asa should have never sent that money to Syria because he strengthened the enemy. Listen, in our Christian life, every time in the midst of our trials we act in the flesh, we're strengthening the real enemy. So this evening we understand there's a decision to make. I wrote down just a couple things in times of difficulty or trial, some things to remember. And listen, in the time of difficulty, make sure every decision is bathed in prayer. Amen. Don't ever act in the flesh. Listen, don't ever just act because it feels like that's the right move to make. Make sure you've bathed that action in prayer. In the times of difficulty, listen, because oftentimes in those times we're not thinking correctly and we have to bathe that in prayer. Make sure in the times of difficulty that every day you're walking with God. Make sure you're in the Word of God on a daily basis, that you're on your knees praying to God for strength and for help in the times of difficulty. And then make sure you don't give in to the flesh in those times of difficulty. Don't give in to the natural reaction that we would just naturally have in our lives or that which seems sensible, especially if it goes against what God has clearly written in His Word. We don't give in to the flesh. And so we see the decision there that Asa would have to make, to either trust God and exercise faith in God or to trust himself. And then finally this evening, I want you to see finally here back in our passage the consequence of Asa's lack of faith. The consequence of Asa's lack of faith. Go back, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7. The Bible says in verse 7, "And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the half of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." He says, listen, Asa, here's the consequence. You're going to deal with turmoil and wars for the rest of your reign, for the rest of your kingdom. Turmoil and wars. Understand this, listen, Asa had empowered an enemy in Syria. He'd have to deal with them and the wars that would come with them. Listen, there was further division, as if things weren't already bad enough with Israel, even further division with their neighbor there in Israel. And yet I want you to see this. Even in this, an opportunity for grace was extended. Because God sent Hanani to Asa. Yes, Hanani, listen, came with a message of judgment. But I truly believe that Hanani also came with a message of restoration. Because here's what I want you to understand tonight. Listen, God's principles don't ever change. What God has given to us in His Word, listen, in verse 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." Listen, if Asa would have gotten right with God, I truly believe that God could have restored him. And yes, he would have dealt with those consequences that God had already given to him in the judgments, but there would still be victories ahead. If he would have just called on God, because listen, God's principles remain unchanged. Listen, Asa knew. As he goes back in his history, he knew the words of God. If you're with me, I'll be with you. I'll fight for you and I'll guide you. And God sent his messenger, Hanani, in an effort not only to chastise Asa, but also an extended opportunity for Asa to get right. Here's what I love about this. God's grace is available even after we've done wrong. What a great blessing tonight. Listen, even after we've made the decision that we've made and we're dealing with the consequences from that, God extends to us grace. God reminds us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen, not even if you're dealing with the consequences of a wrong decision, the grace of God is the blessing that God hasn't abandoned you. And God still has victories for us to accomplish as we go through this life if we're willing to fall back to God and trust in him. Can I say this tonight? Don't make the mistake Asa made. Look at verse 10 if you would. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. The reaction of Asa, instead of falling on his knees before an almighty God and saying, God, I'm sorry. No, there was an act of defiance, an act of anger. He began to get angry with Hanani there. He had Hanani thrown into prison. And then he began to oppress some other of God's people out of anger. Can I say that's a wrong decision to make? Look in verse 12. Not only that, we see a bitterness, which oftentimes anger leads to bitterness. Verse 12, the Bible says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Listen, years before then, Asa would have gone to God. But because of his anger, which turned into bitterness, now he continues down this road. And there's an opportunity where God would have been there for him and God would have helped him through this disease and through this sickness. I truly believe that if he would have simply sought God, or else I don't think it would have been recorded in Scripture there for us. But Asa didn't. He continued to fall on his own instincts and he continued to do maybe that which is tangible. Instead of going to God to ask for healing and for deliverance, he went and saw the doctors of his day. And yet we see that he died a bitter man. And here you would have a 41-year reign. And 35 of those years would have been incredible years. I mean, there's a revival they're experiencing in Judah. God is doing a great work. I mean, the Bible even records that Asa had to remove his mother from her post there in Judah because of her dealing with idols. And so Asa was going through and he was cleaning house and so many good things were happening. And for 35 of those years, man, there would have been a revival in the land of Judah. And yet you look at those last 6 years. They end in disgrace because of a lack of faith in a time of difficulty. A time of trial, a lack of faith in God. And we'd say it this way, Asa paid a high price to follow his own thinking. He paid a great price just to do what he wanted to do, what he thought was best rather than following after God. And here's what you see. You see a cumulative effect of a bad decision upon a bad decision upon a bad decision. If he would have just simply, in the time of his difficulty, would have turned to God and said, God, would you take care of this for us? God, we're going to have faith in you. We're going to trust you. Lord, you've done it for us in the past, and we know you can do it again. But instead of relying upon God, he tried to fight it in the flesh, tried to build upon his own strength. And if only he would have turned over his difficulty to God, because it was an opportunity for faith. I want to ask you this question tonight. What in your life right now is a greater opportunity for faith in God? We can view trials in one of two ways. We can view them as a difficulty and as a hardship, or we can view them as an opportunity for God to do a great work. God's allowing me to be in this valley at this time, and God is walking right by my side. And God can give me victory if I look to him. And so as we think, every one of us tonight, what type of valleys are we facing right now? What type of opportunities do we have in our life where God can show himself strong in those situations? And let me ask you this question. Have you given it over to God? Have you turned it over to God, or are you still trying to figure it out on your own? Are you doing that maybe which is tangible, that which the world would say, yeah, that's the right decision, but it violates scriptural principles? Are you fighting in the flesh, or have you given that trial, that difficulty over to God? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. The high cost of Asa's lack of faith. Listen, the opportunities that we have in the Christian life, the difficulties, the hardships, the trials that we face, they're opportunities for God to do something in our life. I don't know what you may be going through tonight. It's a Wednesday night. We won't have a musical invitation, but the altar is always open. Let me give you the opportunity this time if you have a need, or maybe you find yourself in the midst of a difficulty right now, in the midst of a trial right now. Maybe you've fought it on your own. Maybe it's time just to turn it over to God, allowing and viewing that trial as an opportunity for God to do a great victory in your life. We'll just have a moment here of prayer and asking the Lord to help us. And if there's a decision that you need to make, I encourage you to do that this evening. Lord, as we do come before you tonight, Lord, we understand the trials and the difficulties that we face, Lord. They're many times just a natural part of this life. And yet, Lord, our dealing with them and our decision-making process in the times of difficulty oftentimes determine, Lord, whether we'll exercise faith in you or we're trusting ourselves. Lord, I pray that we would learn a great lesson tonight from Asa. Lord, a man who had every reason to trust in you and yet continued to look to himself. And I pray that you'd help us tonight as we take heed to this passage, Lord. I pray for some that may be in the midst of a difficult trial even right now. And Lord, maybe the question has been, do I give up? Do I quit? Well, we know that in faith, Lord, you can lead them through that. And I pray that you just help us tonight, Lord, to look to you in faith. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen.